Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 14 this morning. Joshua chapter 14. This morning, as we go back to the story of entering into the promised land, we are going to look at how one family's land was subdivided. And what a lesson and what a message is there in Joshua chapter 14 that touches each and every one of our lives through someone who had an amazing event happen in their life and how they stood over the years. This morning, the message is entitled, The Promised Portion. I do realize that today is July 4th. It's our Independence Day as a nation. Just a few minutes ago, I was calculating and doing the math, 245th 4th of July Independence Day celebration that we are celebrating as a nation today. And what I want to ask you is something that maybe you've not really thought about. Maybe moving forward, you will think about it. What is it actually that we do celebrate? Do we celebrate the July 4th, 1776 moment when the document was written and penned and signed and spread around? Do we celebrate the American Revolution that we fought for our independence and our freedom? Do we celebrate a family whose land was taken from them? You look back over 245 years, there's been a lot of living that's taken place in this nation, a lot of events that have taken place in this nation. There were times when our country was fractured and it seemed irreparable, but through God's grace, our nation has stood 245 years. An amazing reality of God's blessing on this land. But we think about the Independence Day celebration, how it all started at July 4th, 1776, and today is a big day. But do we celebrate the past? Is that really what we're celebrating today? Maybe we're just celebrating today for what it is. I mean, it is a big day. And I do realize that tonight somebody's going to be setting off fireworks. I know last night I heard they were setting them off, and tonight they'll be setting them off, and probably again on Monday night they'll be setting them off. We've got another camp week coming up, and I know that there's always camp problems around the 4th of July because people have been able to buy fireworks from those fireworks stands. And if you think that 4th of July is just about the fireworks and the hot dogs and the day off that we get, that's one of the benefits of right now. But what is it about Independence Day, 4th of July, that today we have a special time? I mean, we look back 1789 as a nation. We look back at 1776, Declaration of Independence. It's something that happens today. I think, yes, we celebrate the past, and yes, we celebrate right now, today, and we celebrate for tomorrow, to look to God's blessing and protections for us tomorrow as a people. And I think that really this applies to our birthdays, too, for those celebrating birthdays this upcoming week. It's another milestone, and is it just something that comes and goes, and it reminds you your limitations? When you say 245 years, there is a lot of living that has occurred here in this country. We have seen some major triumphs, we've seen some major tragedies, but we have seen God lead us as a nation all the way. And I realize that today, that the ideals, the values that we were founded upon, we see them eroding in our society, in our culture. And as historians and philosophers have observed, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. We have a way to pray today for our country and for our people, for our neighbors. And it all comes down to what today means and what we are looking for to in today. July 4th, 2021. Is it a day that we just celebrate the past? Is it a day that we just celebrate right now? Or is it a day that we celebrate what God can do and will do tomorrow? As we look at Joshua chapter 14, we are in the middle of the land being divided. And after the land has rested, we've seen this, the war, the fighting has stopped. I wonder what is the normal return to life? How do you find that return to normalcy? For Israel, they fought to go into the promised land and to conquer the inhabitants of the land, and now the land's being given out. And they are having property that borders some of the inhabitants still left in the land. So should they just give up? After the fighting's all done and we're at this point now, everybody's going to get their portion, should we just stop and just retire and live happily ever after? If this were a Western, we'd just ride off into the sunset. Or do we continue to fight on? I think as we look at Joshua chapter 14, what is true for us as an American people celebrating our independence today, that it is also us as an American people that we remember that there is still very much worth fighting about and standing for right in this country. And that we don't stop just because our problems seem so big and insurmountable. This year is such a remarkably different year than last year, because the world is operating under different circumstances, and it seems to be that as everything is starting to wake back up again, we realize that in 2020, it looked like it was really bad. There were so many problems all around us, but in God's grace, He brought us through that. And this year, we've seen God working, and oh, we don't have life, and we don't experience life like we knew last year. But I do think, and I do hope that you agree with me, that there is still a whole lot more living left to do in this country. There is still a whole lot more living as a child of God for us to do in the Lord's name. So, is it normal to stop and rest, or is it normal to fight on? This morning, our point is this: the Lord keeps His promises. I'm going to invite you to join me in a word of prayer now as we go to Him and ask Him to bless our time together. Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning. We lift up Your name. We magnify Your name. Lord, I thank You so much for the lives that You touched over this past week. Lord, I thank You so much for the lives that You've touched through the ministry of Camp Deer Lake. I thank You, Lord, for hearing from boys and girls who grew up to be moms and dads who sent their children back to camp because they wanted their children to hear the same message. And Lord, to see boys and girls come to know You as Lord and Savior through that ministry, we're humbled. Lord, through our church ministry, to know throughout our history how You have worked. And Lord, I pray this morning that we could have a vision anew about who You are and what You are doing and what You can do and what You will do. Lord, I pray that You would give us a heart like Caleb, but not a heart like his that is just determined to fight on if that's all we're after. Lord, Caleb's heart was about following You all the days of his life. Lord, give us that desire. Give us that drive and that surrender so that You're all that we want. And we see You work in our lives day in and day out. And help us to determine when the best times truly are. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. As we look at Joshua chapter 14, we're looking this morning at verses 6 through 9. Read along with me. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. We look the promise that Caleb is wanting to have fulfilled. He's wanting to redeem that promise. And he's asking for his portion. And in the reference that we find when we first met Caleb, we heard from Caleb who was sent out into the promised land to spy it. And I'd like us to look back at that portion because that had to have been what an amazing event, imagining what he could see. When I think back to our country, what it must have been like in those early days for those explorers, Lewis and Clark, as they moved westward, Several years ago, I read an amazing, fantastic account written by Stephen Ambrose of the Lewis and Clark expedition and what they went through and how difficult it was and how amazing. And even though it's not there in the story, you can see that it was God's hand of protection on these two men that went out into the wilderness, that were traveling as far west as they could, and how the Lord delivered them through some amazing circumstances. See, that's the amazing part of how the Lord works. If we don't see Him working, we don't think He's working, if we're not looking for it. But the truth behind 245 years here in America, God has been here working all along, behind the scenes, in the church houses, in our families. And it's God's grace and God's providence. We consider today 245 years not the product of our own strength and our own accomplishments, but God's faithfulness. I'd like you to join me in Numbers 13, verses 25 through 33, as we look to Caleb returning with his report. "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people that be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw it are great men, or men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Here's the stuff of the reports. If you're going to follow Caleb's assessment, yeah, it's tough. There's big cities, and there's a whole lot of inhabitants in the land. But look at what the Lord has in the promised land. There is also some challenges for us, but we are able to do this by the Lord's grace. But it's the majority position. The majority takes this position: we're not able to go. I don't know where he's coming off from this. What we have seen is these inhabitants of the land, this land is rough, and the inhabitants of the land are rougher. And they're big. They are really big. And the cities look too strong to take. And the neighbors are just too big. But it was Caleb's minority position. It was his position that, having seen from the same perspective, that he has a different outlook. Let's go now. I've seen it. Yeah, there's a lot of fighting to be done. It's going to be hard, but we can do this, so let's go now. We are well able to overcome. I don't think that he's just thinking about Israel's strength. It's because of his heart, and we see the descriptions made of him in Joshua chapter 14. We find out what the source of it. But what was it that made the difference between Caleb's opinion, Caleb's perspective, and the majority position? It's the same troubles that we see today in our world. Every time we turn on the news and every time we hear a news report, we have two takeaways that we can receive from our news report. First off, let me just say, news reports are usually discouraging and disappointing. Earlier this week when we were out at camp, I had happened to see a news feed buzzed on my phone. I was working with Caleb down at the camp, and I happened to see down in Greensboro, two people were bitten by a fox in Greensboro. When I saw that report, I stepped over because Caleb's a fox too. And the takeaway, I didn't really read all of the story, so I don't know who it was or which one of the foxes it was, but they had something to bite over. They lost that land. When we hear the news, sometimes it just discourages and just thinks us, oh, that's it. We just have to give up. It's just too much. It's just too rough. It's amazing how around 4th of July, no matter how fractured or how fragmented we are as a people, when you think about when you listen to the news reports, how our country politically is split right down the middle, 50-50 it seems. And it seems to be that there's always a louder majority who's talking over another group. And it just seems to be that there's so much unrest. But what we can do today as an American people is we come together united with the reality that we are here as a people in the most blessed land throughout the history of the world as we know it. From our perspective, we've got comfortable life. We know freedom like no other country has ever known. But prosperity and freedom can sometimes cause us to become distracted and we miss what God is doing. I do believe that our country was founded upon Christian principles. I do believe that as Christians, we see our biblical foundation in the origins of our country and the values of this nation. Sadly, this world today tells us that our nation was not founded upon these values. And that we should just pack up and go home because the world is in a different place today than it was then. And we've got an opportunity today to remember what it is that we stand and what it is that we support and whose name we stand for. So what made the difference when Caleb saw what the other spies saw? Well, it's there in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb followed the Lord. Look with me in verse 10, Joshua 14. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So the account that we see in Numbers 13, Caleb was 40 years old when he went into the promised land and got to see what God had in store. We find in verse 10 that he is now 85 years old, asking for his portion. In verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Maybe that's a great verse to put on your refrigerator this morning when you get up and you have a hard time getting going. This is a statement made by an 85-year-old man who followed the Lord the days of his life. And stop and consider, how is it that we define our nation as having 245 years of freedom and success? What is it? What is our perspective? Do we look at the economy as to the way our country has moved? But we look at Caleb. Caleb's perspective, though, wasn't about the economic prosperity in Israel. It wasn't having anything. It didn't have anything to do with the promise of the land being filled with milk and honey. He just followed the Lord for 40 years. You know, the children of Israel were in the wilderness as he had spied on the land. I mean, he was able to see the blessings early on at 40 years old. For 45 years, he lived with this reality of what God could do. And he didn't stop. And as a result of him seeking the Lord each day, let me define for you how Caleb's life prospered. The Lord blessed him with a long life. An 85-year-old man going to fight the inhabitants of the land? Stop and think about it right now. Do you have the grit to get up and go fight right now if you were called up? Could you do that? I want you to know that for last week, for all, as wonderful as it was, it was a huge, huge commitment. And it took a whole lot of tremendous effort to accomplish and to pull off what we did. And every year, do you think that it seems to get a little bit harder out at Camp Deer Lake? Just because the work just seems a little bit harder. I was able to go and talk with Miss Augustine Hobgood about, in the years past, Brother Hunter Hobgood, as he would get up and make the biscuits out at Camp Deer Lake, and to see that table just covered with the flowers as he was making those biscuits. And he was out there as long as he could. And she told me that she wished she could be out at camp helping out, but she just got to a point where it was just too hard to get going. And I agree. I can see it. But for Caleb? Caleb was still fighting for the Lord at 85 years, and clearly the Lord had blessed him with a long life. And if you think that that wasn't enough, it was the Lord that protected him over those years. Here is a perspective that sometimes we lose sight of. Yeah, I've lived a long time, but it was the Lord's hand of protection on me in those years that made the difference. I'm grateful that the Lord protects us, aren't you? I'm grateful that the Lord shows us day in and day out who He is and how the Lord protects us from who knows what. I do not like turning on the news and finding out about a national tragedy. I do somewhat enjoy hearing about a big scheme or something that was thwarted by our protectors, our law enforcement, and our military, that they were able to stand up and stomp out something. It's not nearly as exciting, as far as details go, of a story where trouble was stopped. But I don't want to hear about trouble coming to my house or to my land. And so while one story may be a bigger story, it is a big story to hear about the trouble that didn't come. And I appreciate that. And God protected Caleb. He gave him a long life. And get this, the Lord protected Caleb with his day-by-day strength. So looking back, you see that God was with Caleb over the years, how God protected him over the years, and how God met his need each and every day, as found there in verse 10. And so, for his portion, Caleb asks what was promised. Now I'm going to pause right here, because I want to ask you, what would you ask for? Imagine that you're in his shoes. Actually, you don't have to imagine you're in his shoes, because you're right here, right now. His story ended long ago. It's recorded in the scripture for us, and he has gone on to glory. But you and I, right now, what would you ask for if you were in his position? I mean, yes, he is asking for his portion of the land, but I want to warn you, that portion of land comes with some caveats. So what did you ask for? When I got home from camp, you know what I told Melina? I am so looking forward to getting some rest. I just need to collapse. I am tired and I am beat. Did anybody feel that way after this past week? You were ready just to, you were tired, you just need some rest? The amazing thing about the older we get, isn't it how much we long for that rest? How much we long for that period where we could just sit down and catch our breath. Oh, it would be so nice if I could just get caught up on a rest. But I find when I talk to people, they say, well, I don't sleep too well and I don't rest very well because I got all these aches and pains. And resting can sometimes remind us that if we could just get enough rest, maybe we'd feel better. But at the end of the day, that thing that we want, the rest, Does it bring us the satisfaction that we're looking for? Well, that's fun to try out. Let's try it out today. How about that? But what would you ask for? Would you ask for some money in the bank? Would you ask, what would you ask for if you were looking for settling up with the Lord right here and right now? As Caleb is coming and asking for his portion of the land. I think probably if you and I were given our choice over these 245 years, what it is that we would look forward to seeing here in our country. If you had the ability to choose that this morning, I wonder how many of us would say, I'd look for a return to the better days of yesterday. Oh, because it was so much better in days gone by. Have you ever been to Colonial Williamsburg and seen the way life was back in the day when people wear those weird clothes and settle around? Or maybe you've gone over to historic Hillsborough Village and looked at the architecture there and hear about how hard life was. I was interested to see a report this week about medical treatments, how doctors worked back in those days. They would cut you and drain out some of your blood, or they would put leeches on you to help drain out some of the blood. Or sometimes they would drill a hole in you to let out some of the blood. And I think to myself about how backwards medical practices were back in those days. It's a wonder that anybody survived if the solution was, well, you just got too much bad blood in you, we need to get it out. When we think about all of the problems of yesterday, we don't think about all of the problems of yesterday because our mind just remembers the good times. I've heard people speak about how they wish we could go back to that time of Ronald Reagan just a few years back when the glory days of America. And if the glory days of America came and went during the time of Ronald Reagan, these 245 years don't mean anything today. Oh, I lived during that time. And it was a time that, from my perspective, was unlike any other time that I had ever witnessed. And I've seen tragedy, and I've seen triumph during my time here on this earth as a citizen of the United States. But I wonder if you would love to see a return to those better days of yesterday. I think a lot of us do long for that. We remember those times with a warm, fuzzy feeling. But how many of us would say, you know what, if I could have anything, I'd like to have a happy life right now. I know the past was wonderful, but right now it's been pretty hard, and I would just like to have some happiness right here and right now today. I wonder if that would be something you would ask for, because you say, I mean, I'm living right here and right now. 245 years as a nation, we have today to celebrate. But how many of us would consider something tomorrow? To go back to the way it was, how it used to be, to have a happy time right now, or to have an easier life tomorrow? After all, isn't that what the promise of retirement is supposed to bring? You've worked all the years of your life, and you saved up, and you just get to kick back and relax. I am amazed when I talk to people who've retired who say, I am more busy now than I have ever been when I worked in the factory or whenever I worked my job. It just seems to be that there are so many events that happen in the day, and maybe that's the blessing of retirement, that you don't have that boss on your back and you don't have that job on your back to be able to focus on the problems that pop up, the problems of tomorrow. How many of you just sank in the knees when I talked about trouble and problems that you're going to have to deal with maybe tomorrow? But you're retired, so you've got the opportunity to do that. I wonder, from your perspective, which one do you think sounds more appealing? Going back to the way it used to be, just thinking about right here and right now only, or looking forward to an easy life tomorrow? Because Caleb is 85 years old. If there was anything that he could ask for, Joshua, I'm 85. It's time to hang up that sword. Please, let me just sit down, catch my breath, and take a break. But Caleb asked to see the Lord work as he promised. Look with me in verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced off. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Of all of what Caleb could ask for, do you know what he asked for? He asked for a mountain. He wanted a mountain that was surrounded and settled with enemies, and he knew that the Lord would deliver him day by day. Have you ever tried to walk up a mountain? At my age, I wouldn't walk up a mountain. It's tough. Caleb, at 85 years old, had his heart set on the land that was promised to him. As Moses said, wherever your feet trod, the land that your feet trod on, that's going to be yours. And he particularly picks out a mountain, particularly Hebron. And at 85 years old, Caleb wanted to go and fight for that mountain. I put up here on the map in the land of Judah, you may not be able to see, this is just a depiction for location as to where Hebron is. Hebron today is considered one of the second most important cities in Israel, behind Jerusalem, of course, its significance in its holiness. In Hebron today, it has a larger Palestinian settlement than it does a Hebrew settlement. And Hebron is an important place in Israel's story even today, as we hear about struggles and conflicts along the West Bank. And Caleb wanted that mountain. Would you ask for God to give you a mountain today, considering your limitations, considering what you know about yourself? What made the difference? Why was it that Caleb wanted to keep fighting? Why was it that Caleb wanted to know and see the Lord work tomorrow, as he had seen God work in the past? That's how he had God seen work each day. It's because Caleb thrived as he followed the Lord wholly with his whole heart. Look with me in verses 13 and 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephthah Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance for Caleb the son of Jephthah the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he, say it with me, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And there's a great way for us to pray for our nation's leaders today as we celebrate Independence Day. Lord, protect our nation by giving our leaders good, clear judgment that's not going to go against your principles. For we know, Lord, that we have seen your hand protect us in the past. And Lord, we've seen you get us through day by day. And Lord, we are praying for what you have done over these last 245 years that you continue to do. Because without you, America has no hope. And so, I'd like us to spend a few moments looking at the lesson that we see on this promised portion of land. Have you ever wondered why it is that hope dies? If you start to listen to the voices around you, the voices will tell you over and over and over, it's done. It's too late. You're too old. You do not have any more left to give. And hope begins to die when we begin to stop believing. Who is in control? And here's three mindsets that we see of failure. God can't do today what he did yesterday. I know we look for the better days of yesterday. And if we think that the glory days are all behind us, we've stopped growing, we have no hope for tomorrow. But I want you to know that we serve Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that what God can do yesterday, I don't expect him to do like he did yesterday, exactly the same way. I believe God has something better in store for tomorrow. And so hope pushes us on. Secondly, God can't work now in these tough times. The problems are just so big. I'm grateful today that our country isn't burning like it was last year at this time. I realize that today, Brother Dustin was telling me that they go off with their family and they had stopped shooting off fireworks at the family house, at Emily's brother there in Raleigh. They've stopped doing it because one year they shot it off and the firework went right into the side of the vinyl at the house and started a fire. And they put it out, he said it was safe. But after that time, my brother said, nope, no more fireworks at our 4th of July celebration. He said, so we're going to go watch some fireworks, but we won't be setting them off. And you know, we think about the fireworks, that how they can start fires today. And I hope if there's any trouble in our country today, that it's kept to a minimum. And that certainly there's no fires today, even because of people setting off fireworks that they purchased out of state to bring down here, because you can do that. No, you can't do that. There's a penalty for that. But when we stop and we think, God can't work right now because the times are just too tough and the world is just too dark and it just seems too hard, because I know my limitation and I just don't have I don't have much more to give. I'm just too feeble. It wasn't Caleb's heart. Caleb had seen God work, and Caleb knew that God could work, and that's why he said, God, I want that mountain, and I am willing to go and fight, even though I know the people there are bigger than me and bigger than my family, but they are not bigger than you. The third mindset of failure, God can't work with tomorrow's generation. Our hope does not rest with our own generation. I think that's what we see as we look back through the course of history. There were some big moments and some big opportunities in our lifetime. And by God's design, one generation passes the baton to the next. When we think back about 245 years as a nation, America has seen some great times over these years. But I believe that America's brightest days are ahead, because I've got confidence not in tomorrow's generation, but the God of tomorrow's generation. I realize that God takes our limitations and He can use them for His glory. And as we've just looked at three mindsets of failure, I want to give you three mindsets of faith, because this is how we find our hope refreshed and restored. And if you look at the mindsets of failure, hope will dry up and hope will fade. But these three mindsets of faith are this: the greater portion is ahead. That's why Caleb could say, I want that mountain. It's going to be tough. I know 40 years ago when I gave a report, nobody wanted to listen to me because they said the inhabitants were too big and the public opinion shifted. But I do believe that what God could have done that day, that God can do tomorrow. And the greater portion is ahead. And when we stop believing that, yes, our faith does dry up. But remember, our faith isn't based in our circumstance or in our abilities. It is in our God. And our portion, our greater portion, is ahead. And another mindset of faith is that I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. You know, if it was left up to Caleb at 85 years to go up and fight the battle, we know how that would probably work. He would go up and he would fight and he'd be outnumbered. He'd have to take his family with him. But if you think that it was just the sheer might of this small group from the tribe of Judah, you've got it all mistaken. It's the God behind this small group of the tribe of Judah. And that, yeah, there's an important lesson that we strive together and we do not stop striving together, that we fight together. And if there's anything to remind us as a nation, that today, 245 years of independence does not mean that we are independent one of another, but we are interdependent as a people. These United States of America is who we are part of. And that we stand together, even when we stand sometimes with people that we disagree with. We don't always see eye to eye. But unless we are looking towards God, We're not going to be able to do this alone, even if we try to stand together as a people. I believe that America's greater days are ahead. I believe that our church's greater days are ahead. I believe that my greater days are ahead because I cannot do this alone. I need God at work in my heart and in my life every day, like Caleb looked. And then the last part of that, the mindset of faith is that God keeps his promise. God told Caleb. God assured Caleb. He had seen God working in the past. And though we may not have heard an audible voice, "Caleb, fight on for me, and I will bless thee," he'd seen day in and day out how God had met his need. Does God talk to you like that? In an audible voice? Oh, he gives us his word, and he speaks to us through our Bibles. But if you've seen him working in the past, what changed to where you don't look forward to him working in the future? He's working right here and right now to meet your needs and to carry you for tomorrow, because we serve a promise-keeping God who keeps his promises. That's what we see in the Old Testament, that God is a covenant-keeping God who keeps his promises, so that when we get to the New Testament, we see him sending his blessed Son Jesus into this world to give up his life, to take your sins and to take my sins, to suffer and die on a cross of Calvary. He was buried. And for 3 days, his body rested in that grave, but on the third day, he rose again. And we serve a risen Savior. And that he's given us the promise of everlasting life. And everlasting life is not something that just starts when we get on the other side of eternity, but as a child of God, knowing Jesus and serving Jesus, our everlasting life started that moment of faith for us when we trusted him as Savior. And though it doesn't mean that we'll know life that's easy and comfortable always, we know that it's not alone, because God keeps his promises. And that's the point this morning. The Lord keeps his promises. And here's our response. We're going to look to Caleb's example as to how to conquer that mountain. Step one, know that I'm never too young or too old to serve the Lord. God, you can't use me anymore. I'm used up. I don't have anything else to give. Or, Lord, I'm just too young, too inadequate. I can't do it because, I mean, my time hasn't come yet. And if you listen to those lies, you'll never, ever be able to go after the mountain. You'll never be able to stand in faith. And you'll never be able to live with hope because you're placing your hope on your own abilities. Know that I am never too young or too old to serve the Lord. Because secondly, your limitations magnify the Lord's work. Lord, I can't, but you can. And when we can stand and serve him day in and day out, even when it hurts, even when it's difficult, it is just a greater testimony of his greater grace, his greater triumph over our failures and our limitations. And if you feel inadequate this morning, or just too old, or just if you feel like you've been used up, know that that is when God's name is magnified the greatest. So don't give up. And Caleb, and like Caleb, follow the Lord as he does his part. You do your part, God's got the bigger portion. God can take us, and God uses, he does take us, and he does use us. The problem is sometimes we just give up before he's done with us. And there's hope for us. There's hope for America. There's revival that can come to our hearts because we stop looking to our strength and start standing in his strength each and every day. So may this be our prayer. Lord, use all of me to show more of you.